Welcome to another edition of Real Prospector Radio. Today we feature Robert Palmer, of course the founder and the CEO of the Robert Palmer family of companies. And we welcome Luke Lewis. Luke is on the show today. He is a professional realtor dealing with the military. Very interesting discussion coming up. But right now, let's join Robert Palmer at a recent seminar and the topic, cold calls.
Next, we're going to talk about the scariest thing in every real estate agent's career. All right. I have one right here behind this curtain. That is called a front door. All right. Right. How many of you are scared to death of a front door? I used to be scared to death of the telephone. I get it. A lot of real estate agents are scared to death of a front door. All right. How many of you have been door knocking? All right. So not everybody's hand is up. Those of you whose hands are not up, I want you to put them up because every Halloween, as children, we put on costumes and we go door-to-door begging for candy, right? Door knocking in its simplest form. If a 9-year-old dressed like RoboCop can knock on a door asking for a Snickers bar, right? What's your excuse when there's a thousands of dollar commission on the line? All right, I am a big fan of door knocking. I think it is the best thing you have in your arsenal, all right? And we're gonna talk about why. So it is absolutely the most powerful weapon you have. Most of you may think you have not, but you have all been door knocking as children. Secret number one, it works every time, all right? It always works. You will not fail at this, but you have to understand what works means. We are door knocking to build our database and expand our brand. I knocked on 1,000 doors and I didn't get a single listing. I failed. How many people did you talk to? Probably 60 or 70. Oh, you shook their hand, they met you? Yeah, well, that sounds good. And how many of them want to sell their house in maybe the next 12 or 24 months? Yeah, I don't know, I didn't think to ask them. Okay. Well, this is valuable information, right? So if you're gonna get out there and door knock, you have to understand, and this is secret number two, the success is in the information you gather, right? Successful door knocking is not about getting a listing, getting a buyer, getting a sale. That might happen. Great if it does. Successful door knocking is coming home with a list of prospects who you've now met face to face, who are thinking about buying or selling real estate in the near future. And so you've got to ask this information. You know, bring the survey back in line. Hey, you know, I'm out here door knocking. I'm looking to meet people in the area. I'm conducting a survey. I sell a lot of homes in this area. I have a lot of clients interested in buying in this area. Can I ask you a couple questions, right? What are some of your favorite things about this neighborhood, right? How long have you lived here? Think you're gonna sell anytime soon? You can have a natural conversation. All right, secret number three is you just have to pick up the phone or go hit the streets. All right, whatever it is, you just have to do it. We all hate it, we're all scared of it, none of us wanna do it, but if you wanna make more money tomorrow, the two best things you can do that don't cost you a dime is pick up your phone and start calling people out of the phone book if you have no other choice, or go knock on doors in an area that you're farming or an area that you've done business in. If you've got a listing somewhere, go knock the doors around that. Hey, I just wanna let you know I've got a listing over there. I'm out working hard, looking for somebody to buy that house. I work hard. That's one of the messages door knocking sends. See, a lot of people think that real estate agents don't work hard. They think mortgage guys don't work hard. And they think, oh, you make all this money, you don't really do anything. We work hard. And a way to change that perception is get out there and show them how hard you work. And no one thinks anything is harder work than getting out there and going door to door, making contacts to try to help your client buy or sell their house. All right, secret number four, a FedEx envelope, right? The most powerful thing you can do is leave something at their front door if they're not home that looks like a FedEx envelope. We think these are important. Right, you can put a door hanger out there and they will literally let it melt. They will let the rain hit it and it will be weathered and it will melt, right? Because everybody goes in through their garage. But if there's a FedEx envelope at the front door, right, people, they're jogging out there. Oh, we got something important, looks like a FedEx envelope. Now, I'm not sure of the legality of using actual FedEx envelopes, all right? Well, we'll save that conversation for later. But you can have a square envelope that looks a whole lot like a FedEx envelope and it's gonna get people to go to the front door and pick it up. Now your information has more value. Right, we see door hangers as low value. We see something in a FedEx looking envelope as high value. So that's where I would want my information. I'd want my picture, my brochure, my booklet in a FedEx looking envelope. Nobody go raid FedEx boxes or don't tell me about it if you do, all right? So when we do our cold calling and door knocking specific seminars, some of the things we talk about, overcoming sales call reluctance, that's that fear, right? We see this and we freak out a little bit. You're driving around, you're getting ready to get out the door knock, all of a sudden your heart's pounding, your palms are sweaty, you do not want to get out of that car. Then you walk up to that door and you knock on it and you stand there looking like an idiot, right? We all feel this way. We're like, man, the neighbors know I don't belong here. Are they gonna answer or not? Please don't answer, please don't answer. Knock, knock, knock. Please don't answer. Okay, they didn't answer, I'm out of here, right? And head back to the car. That's sales call reluctance, okay? And you've got to overcome that. And the way to do that is practice. You know, you can practice right here. You can knock on this door while I hit a sound effect that sounds like a Doberman pincher, right? We want you to be prepared for anything, all right? We want to use scripts that don't sound like sales scripts, right? Surveys. Hey, I'm just in your area. I want to talk about real estate. Hey, I've got a client interested in this neighborhood. Can you give me some advice? Do you know anybody who's selling? Are you selling? You know, hey. Have conversations. Have conversations. The cool thing is you belong in the neighborhood. It makes sense to the consumer. We talk about this a lot. So if I'm a vacuum cleaner salesman, right, if I want to buy a vacuum cleaner, I'll go to Walmart and I'll buy a vacuum cleaner. I do not want someone coming to my house to sell me a vacuum cleaner. If I want to sell my house, you have to come to my house, right? It makes sense for you to be there. You guys, the neighborhood is your office, and you should feel comfortable in it. That farm, that neighborhood is your office. That house is your product. You have every right to be on that front door. And you can do it in a way that you don't come off like a salesperson. Hey, not here to sell you anything, not selling magazines, not selling vacuum cleaners. I have a client that's selling their home, and I need some advice from you. I have a client looking to buy in this neighborhood. I need some advice from you. Can we have a brief conversation? So leaving something behind is very, very important. We've talked about that. Back to, so it makes sense that you're there. I want you all to feel comfortable. When you knock on a door, you belong there and you can have it conversationally, all right? Leave something behind. This is important. Use your FedEx looking envelope and leave something behind. Hey, a door hanger is better than nothing. I'm gonna talk about some other cool ideas at the end that you can leave behind. And the real key to this is to position yourself as a hardworking expert, right? If I'm getting direct mail from a bunch of agents, or I'm on Zillow and there's three featured agents to choose from and one of them has been to my front door, I'm more likely to click on them, all right? This is going to make your other marketing more successful. So the point of door knocking is not to sell homes, it's to make contacts, it's to get your face there, because we will, it's natural. When I first went on TV with RP Funding, the restaurants I would frequent, people would recognize me there first and they would do business with us first because they had two touches. They saw me in their restaurant, they saw me on TV. So you can accomplish this by getting around and door knocking, getting face to face with people. Again, it is the best thing you can do, but most of us will hate doing it. All right, so that brings us to our next topic, direct mail. This is the best marketing you can do you'll actually like, okay? People like direct mail, it's easier, they're gonna call you. The other cool thing is, you really can't grow your business too big with door knocking because a great door knocking assistant will always leave you, right? If I can go out there and knock on doors and see how much commission I can make, why would I be on your team for a lower split? Someone who really gets good at door knocking will always leave you. You've got to be a part of it. If you're going to door knock and you've got a team, you have to go with them. You have to stay a part of it. You cannot make them feel like they can go out there all on their own and door knock and make all this money, because then why would they stay on your team? All right, door knocking is a way to print money as an agent. You need to do it and control it yourself if you're a team lead. So direct mail is different. All right, your assistant, they can't hijack your database. Your assistant probably can't afford to go out and start direct mailing. Your assistant can't take away the months and years of branding you've accomplished by direct mailing into a neighborhood. So that's why I think direct mail is the best way to build a business. Secret number one to direct mail is repetition, repetition, repetition. I will send someone the same mailer, exact same mailer, 10 times. No change in copy, no change at all. And the funny thing is, they will come in my office with a folder with seven of the same flyer in the folder. I'm like, why did you keep all seven? They're the exact same, right? Everyone is the exact same to the letter, but they will keep all seven, eight, nine, 10 of them and come in the office. And I'm like, well, why didn't you call me off of mailer number one? I wasn't ready yet. I stuck it in my little folder though. Well, thank you for that. Why didn't you call me off mailer number two? Don't know. Stuck it in the folder with mailer number one. But I'm here today, seven mailers later, all right? So this is one of the problems. This is where internet marketing wins, because of that instant gratification. You don't get instant gratification with direct mail, right? The best thing that can happen is they're keeping your mail piece, but you don't know that's happening. All right, so that's big. That's why a lot of agents get lost. Secret number two, the list makes the mail. All right, EDDM, every door direct mail, is killing real estate agents. It's so cheap, it makes it so attractive to send the same message to everyone in a carrier route. So one, think about this, if I have a message, best message ever, if I don't sell your house in one day, I'll write you a check for $1 million, right? And I could mean that, and they could believe I mean that. But if I send it to an apartment complex, I'm not gonna get a single phone call, because no one in that apartment complex has a house to sell, all right? Your message has to meet your audience, that's secret number three. So the list and the message matching the list are two of the most important things when it comes to direct mail. And EDDM takes this power away from you. It makes you send the same message to everybody in a carrier route. And it makes you send that message to vacant homes and everybody else. And what can happen is you can actually damage your brand. We see this, all right? So if I run a heavy refi campaign on TV, people will call here and say, hey, do you guys do purchase loans? I'm thinking about buying a house. Yes, we do purchase loans. We do more purchase loans than refis. But because the last message they saw on TV was about refinance, they doubt, do we do purchase loans? And vice versa, if I run a heavy purchase campaign, oh, hey, Robert, I was thinking about refinancing, but I know you guys just do purchase loans, so I didn't call you. The other alternative is, well, let's just mention both types. I help buyers and sellers. Well, now you water down your message. You've got to speak directly to the person you're marketing to. And direct mail is a great way to do this, because the message I send to this house that's owned by someone and the message I send to the house next door that's got a renter in it can be completely different messages. They can't with EDDM, but they can with traditional direct mail. And so this is really important. So the message has to match the recipient. And then,
hey, as we continue on this segment of Real Prospector, I want to bring back a guest we had before. So interesting, in the first 10-minute segment we did with Luke Lewis, we had to get him back. I mean, this guy brings us a type of real estate and a segment of real estate that most people never even think of. And talk about going above and beyond the call of duty, Luke Lewis does that. Luke is an E7. He is a chief with the United States Navy, and he is also very, very involved in military real estate. You ever think about that? Our members of the military, when they move from base to base, I'm sure some stay on base, but others have, you know, want the home. They want the whole shooting match. So that's where Luke comes in. Luke, what does a chief do in the U.S. Navy?
Well, actually, a chief is charged with maintaining order and discipline in the U.S. Navy, regardless of his expertise. So we have plenty of different jobs and fields of expertise, but that's what we do. We're charged with receiving orders and disseminating those to the troops.
Outstanding. What got you interested in the real estate segment of our society?
I'm glad you asked that, sir. So my wife and I decided to buy our home in 2013 while we were stationed in Japan. And when we started the process, there was quite a few hoops we needed to jump through, a lot of paperwork that we needed to do. And we had no idea where to get started or how to make it happen. We had a real estate agent who walked us through some of the process, but the majority of it, honestly, we had to do it from the other side of the planet. And so I realized that there was a need for us military guys who are coming from, especially from overseas, returning back to the United States, and for me to be in a position where I've walked the walk and I've actually achieved those goals, I would like to give back and help those who need me wherever they are.
Mm-hmm. So did you set up an office, or exactly how did you begin?
I began with touching base with one of the Keller Williams offices, because I've heard from many different brokerages that they are the number one with regard to training.
Mm-hmm.
So I touched base with them. I did an interview and found out what they have to offer. And sure enough, I signed up right then and there at a Jacksonville Beach office, and been up and running since then.
Now, Keller Williams has always been a big player when it comes to corporate relocation. So what did they think when you came in and said, I want to start helping military people?
Oh, they were all for it. They were all for it. The individual that I spoke with when I had the interview, his eyes lit up, and he started to offer a lot of ideas and suggestions that will help me help my target.
Mm-hmm. And what was the military's reaction to all this? I'm sure you answered to somebody.
Absolutely. So they didn't have much of a reaction other than, well, the basis of the Navy chief, in addition to order and discipline, is to make sure that we are helping, aiding, and assisting all junior sailors anyhow. That's what's ingrained in us day in and day out. So the fact that I'll be continuing that even beyond my naval service, I got all nods in the room.
That is fantastic. But I want to go back to the fact is, you were in Japan.
Yes, sir.
And you were buying a home in the United States.
Yes, sir.
You know, I work next to the industry right here of mortgages, and I have a lot of clients for my company that are realtors. I see a lot of confusion and a lot of problems with real estate just trying to go across town sometimes. You know, timing and when you're going to arrive, and you got your family and all that sort of thing. And maybe the people didn't close on their next home in time. I mean, real estate can be real confusing. I can imagine halfway around the world.
Absolutely. We definitely had to slow down the process and make sure that we were prepared and we read all the documentation And the builder's representative, she was Johnny on the spot as far as responding to our inquiries within 24 hours. And I mean, just the sheer magnitude of moving parts involved with that transaction, it was a little bit overwhelming. But like I tell some of my guys these days, if we can complete a real estate transaction from the other side of the planet, then I can help you with your real estate transaction right down the road.
Well, you sure can. Now, what have you done, I guess, with electronics, with internet, and all that sort of thing, to get the word out in the Jacksonville area that you're there, that you're available, and you have expertise in this?
Well, anytime it comes with marketing, we have to make sure we protect our bottom line. I learned that the hard way within my first quarter. So what I've been doing recently is I've been experimenting with some of the free marketing areas. For example, social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And I have a few emailing campaigns where, you know, I send information to my database, a list of people in my sphere of influence, and just to keep them aware of the things that we're doing. In addition to that, I've been putting together a few informational short videos for the area. I have quite a few sailors who are planning to relocate into the Jacksonville area from overseas. And I found that it'll be a good idea, and it has been a good idea, to make short videos of things that they can expect when they do arrive and things they need to do prior to their arrival. Video works a lot better because most people are not going to read my dissertation when I'm explaining to them the things that they have to do before getting here. But they will watch a short video at their leisure.
That is really thinking outside the box. I mean, that's major. Let me ask you this. If Sean, who's a member of our company, if he was buying a house, a civilian, and I know he's done that recently, so you buy the house and you move in and there's the closing and everything's fine. Are there logistics when you're dealing with the military that you have to involve the military in the fact that, you know, Officer Dave is moving from France to Jacksonville? I mean, do you have to be working with the military on both ends?
There is a bit of logistics, but not a lot. Primarily, by the time a military member is preparing to move, the paperwork and documentations on the logistics side of their move has already been completed. The biggest deal will be for them to move their household goods. And that's where I would come in and wow. offer some support where needed, because keep in mind, they have to box up their all of their household goods and put them on in a Connex box and ship them from, in my case, from Japan, make a few stops on the way, and then have a designated location where they put all the household goods for pickup and prepare them for pickup.
Wow.
So I would be involved with that part, but it'll be minimal.
Does the military really like it when a lot of military families live in the same neighborhood, or do they have any say in the matter? Can you just live wherever you want to live?
For the most part, you can live wherever you want to live in the continental United States. When you're living overseas and off base, there is some say and it, there are some zones that you want to stay away from, but inside the U.S., we're good to go.
Mm-hmm. And so in the real estate industry, you've broken new ground. So I'm sure as you have each and every transaction successfully, that the Keller Williams people probably want you to share that with the other realtors in the office, at least in one office, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm gearing up. I have a few things up my sleeve in preparation for that. Because the thing is, we don't want to hoard information.
Right.
We want to make sure that everyone in the office is has the same amount of ability, the same amount of information, because it just makes us as the office that much stronger.
Did you have, when you broke this to Keller Williams and they brought you in, you started developing the plan, are there lots of people out there that dedicate their real estate lives to just the military? Or is it sort of a, oh, this person's in the military and it doesn't matter, we're just going to move them in somewhere?
There are quite a few. There are quite a few. Every few days I find another person, but I wouldn't say that there's a large population of realtors that just dedicate their service to the military. And there are a few who have never been in the military who attempt to dedicate their services to the military, and I applaud them, but it's difficult for them to really identify with the struggles and the things that we have to go through when it comes to a move.
I really do compliment you on the work you're doing with the video. I think that's so important, having once moved to a town I'd never even seen before. Didn't even have a Chamber of Commerce booklet. You know, that's the most intimidating thing. So you're in the service and you've got your roots down someplace, like you were in Sicily for a while, you know, you were in Japan, and then all of a sudden you have to uproot the family.
Yes.
Move them to a new town. It's got to be very nice for that family to be able to sit there as they're preparing and they're packing, but watch videos to see, oh, this is where we can go and do things in the new town.
Right, right. And I have to applaud my wife, who's the executive producer of the videos, because of the fact that I came up with a list of topics based on the things that she would have liked to had known prior to our arrival. So I'm interviewing restaurants, I'm interviewing landscapers, I'm interviewing CPAs for taxes, I'm interviewing even painters, so that you can find mm-hmm. something unique to hang on your wall of the new house. So I'm trying to make sure that I provide as many nuggets as possible for that family before they get here.
Does it even go as far as school districts? Maybe they've got, I know you have a 17-year-old. So does it go as far as school districts where somebody might say, hey, my son is excelling very, very well over here in Europe in basketball. Is there a school in the Jax area that's really basketball oriented or football or track or whatever?
You know, that's an awesome idea, and I'm going to make a note of that, and I'll definitely add that, because, and I'll take full credit for it. I appreciate it.
I get a little commission on that, I'm telling you right now. Anyway, I was just wondering about that because I didn't know how specialized idea. You guys would get. Now, let's take this on. What was the biggest hurdle? I mean, you're a pioneer, man. You are breaking new water. So what was the hurdle, the first big, big hurdle that you had to kind of get together with your office manager or somebody maybe in the military and say, man, I wasn't expecting this to come up?
Well, in preparation for my move here?
Well, or even helping somebody else move here.
I would say the biggest hurdle would be the fact that some members are not aware of everything they need to do to prepare their household goods. They have a vehicle that they want to move as well.
Oh, wow.
They have cars and motorcycles and the whole nine. And some people have boats that they're not sure if they can take it, if they want to sell it, and so on and so forth. And just to help them navigate through the cans and the cannots of the move. Sometimes it catches you off guard because the things that people try to bring back, it will throw you for a loop sometimes.
I bet even pets are a problem.
Yes,
because of quarantines and all that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
This is so amazing. I mean, we could talk forever on this. I mean, it's just crazy. Okay, other people in the office, are you getting their support? And in the military, are you getting the military support?
I'm just really elated with the support I'm getting on both sides. With other people in the Keller Williams office, I mean, I've gotten nothing but support. And I honestly didn't expect that going in because each realtor could consider another realtor as competition.
Yeah.
But I don't feel the spirit of competition when I go there. I feel the spirit of team. And it's more of a let's go attack this problem together. And that's really, really refreshing because, like I said, I wasn't expecting that going in.
Mm-hmm.
But on the military side, yes, I've been getting a lot of support when it comes to just brainstorming ideas, things that I could do, and just helping with pass the word and outreach.
When we talked last, we also talked about the fact that a lot of times if the husband or wife, whichever one, is in the military, they may not be available to come and look at the house. They may not be available to make that first inspection. So you really, does your wife get involved in this too, to help these people and welcome them here?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And she has the benefit of being on both sides. She was active duty in the Navy as well. And now as a Navy spouse, so she can easily identify with some of the wives or even husbands whose wife is in the military who may have to do everything themselves while their loved one is deployed.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners to Real Prospector will remember, last time we had you on, it was a short segment, but yes, we were also helping to promote a class in the Jacksonville area that, again, you breaking new ground had put together. Tell us about the class and how it went.
Oh, yeah. I really appreciate it, by the way. So the class, it was scheduled for an hour. It was a home buying fundamentals class, and it went awesomely. We didn't have as large of a showing as we wanted, but it ended up working out in our favor because with a smaller, more intimate class, some of the people who were a bit shy and soft-spoken, they were able to ask more questions, and the level of engagement, that's where I gauge the quality of the class, mm-hmm. not the quantity of the people, but the level of engagement and the discussions that they promoted. It was awesome.
Now, I'm not a military person, so if this is a silly question, you can throw something at me. Okay, we all have Facebook, and we're all on that, Instagram, other things. So for you to reach out socially to military personnel around the world, is there, in addition to all these other things, is there almost an Army, Navy website or something that's all specialties?
There are different branches have their own pages, and within the branches, there are several pages as well. But I try to stay away from advertising or marketing on those pages. I just simply use them for what they were built for. But socially, the people who are already connected with me on the social media platform, I engage with them on a regular basis.
Now, are you foreseeing a day when you will also be doing an awful lot of residential that's not connected to the military now that you're in the industry, you're in the building, and you're learning every day?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We will be, and we are attempting to engage those who may not be affiliated with the military, but we still approach it with the military mind frame. We have our checklist. We want to make sure that no balls are dropped, and we attack it almost like a strategic, tactical type of transaction.
I would say it would have to be. Yes. I mean, let's go back to my Sean example. You know, if you're buying a house and you work, you know, somewhere like Orlando, and the timing gets off in something, and there's, you know, there's something happens. Well, you know, there's always a hotel or something like that. If you're picking up a family in Germany and you're moving that family from Germany to the United States,
absolutely,
and this guy's got to report for duty, you've got to really do it right. Logistically, you've got to be, yes, right there on the ball.
Absolutely. And you know, in our profession, in the military, you know, complacency kills. And we bring that same intensity to creating a real estate transaction.
Mm-hmm. Are you starting a trend in the military? Do you see other guys and gals, you know, coming to you saying, I'd like to do that too?
Yes. I didn't expect it. But yes, even in my own building where I work, there have been people stopping me in the hallway, asking me questions and preparing to take their exam, so on and so forth.
And I imagine since you're going from having the family or being on a destroyer or being, yeah, back with the family, that you can understand life's transitions when it comes to what these families are going through.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just an amazing life that you've had. And you're going to retire soon?
Yes, I retire in approximately 500 days, but I'm not counting. And yes, and I already have my workforce to assist me with my real estate because I have two teenagers in the home, and that's cheap labor to assist, yeah, on is. All the administrative things that I have.
This is so exciting. Very, very exciting. What is the furthest? This kind of gets in my mind. What is the furthest distance that you've had to move somebody from?
Well, right now I'm working on moving someone from Japan to Jacksonville. And he's even gone so far as to ask me if I could go to the property and do a video, you know, a walk and talk video through the property and send it to him so that he can take a look at it.
Wow. So many of our listeners have military family or friends, or people they've friended on Facebook. Give us your contact information. I want them to get with you.
All right. Well, I can be emailed at luke.keystonerealtyfl@gmail.com. But on Facebook, I can be reached at Luke Lewis.
And one more time on that. Repeat that one again.
On Facebook, it's Lucas, L-U-C-A-S, Luke, L-U-K-E, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. I believe I'm the only one there.
All right. Very, very good. Well, continued success. We want to have you on again. We want to keep track of what you're doing. Absolutely. I'd love to see in a year or two the statistics of how many families you've moved, you know, and that sort of thing. It's got to be so rewarding to be able to give back that you are to the military. Thank you so much, Luke, for being on the Real Prospector Show.